Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments, which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Then looking in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Then skipping to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, that was verses 1 through 4, and then verses 10 through 20 of Ephesians chapter 6. Lord, thank you for the wonderful gift of eternal life. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for the chance to know you, to be able to serve you. And thank you for the wonderful blessings and privilege of being disciples of you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank you for the great privilege and opportunity and time to be able to be involved in the work of making disciples. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to be faithful as disciples and to faithfully be involved in doing the work of making disciples. Thank you for the opportunity to be involved in this wonderful work. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how good your ways are, how awesome your commandments are, how beautiful it is the way you call us to love one another, and how you call us to love like you've loved us. Heavenly Father, I just ask that we would spend more time meditating on you and your character, on the ways that you have provided and the ways that you have called us to live. And Heavenly Father, I also ask for boldness, that we would learn more about the good news and that we'd have boldness to share it. Heavenly Father, this isn't something to keep hidden. hidden. This isn't something that we can keep hidden. Heavenly Father, your news is so good. We just have to share it. And so, Heavenly Father, help us have boldness to spread your gospel. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you for being a part of our listening family here on the Hour of Intercession. As we often do, want to take time to share some of the discipleship articles that we encourage you to email us and to get copies of. And want to say thank you for the many people that do email us to get copies of these. Our goal is to help put into your hands tools that can help you to grow in your personal walk with the Lord, tools to help you disciple your family, but also tools to forward to family members, to church fellow church members, saved or unsaved individuals as well. But there's a lot of discipleship we can do online by simply emailing tools like these to others. So again, the title of this first article from the AFA Stand that we wrote is entitled, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Again, the title, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Then Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Again, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Parents carry their children in their hearts. Their children are very important to them and precious to them. As parents, we want the absolute best for all of our children in every area of life. A very important truth for all parents to be mindful of is that the best we can give to our children is Jesus. The greatest gift that they can ever receive in life is Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus is eternal life. So as parents, we are very wise to do all that we can to help and encourage our children to receive Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Once our child is saved, It is one of the great responsibilities of Christian parents to disciple our children. It's our calling from the Lord to help and guide our children to become strong, vibrant believers who love and follow Jesus Christ in their life and lifestyle. Why is this so important? First of all, we're commanded to make disciples. See Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. And this very important calling is to start with ourselves, and then we move directly to our families, our spouses, and children. So in considering the great responsibility of discipling our children, just what are some steps or practical building blocks we are to use in the work of discipling our families? What are some things we can do to effectively and practically carry out this important responsibility? Let's consider a few things a parent can do to help their children begin to grow, to help their children grow up in the Lord. The following are some practical things, ideas, and suggestions Christian parents can do to help encourage their children to come to know the Lord and then to grow in their faith as well. Number one, pray daily with your children. Pray the Lord's Prayer with them and allow them to lead sometimes. Pray Psalm 91 daily with them. Allow them to hear you call their name in prayer every day. Give your children incentives to memorize and learn Bible-based prayers. Also, you can ask your child questions about, you can have your child to read 3 chapters aloud to you every single day, each one of them in your home. Next, ask your child questions about what they've read. What are 2 or 3 important things he or she picked up from what was read? What stood out? Next, teach your children to obey the Word of God. Teach them to be doers of the Word of God and not hearers only. And then next, teach your children the meaning of each of the 10 commandments. Have them memorize them. Teach them to pray the 10 commandments every day for the church and for our nation. Also, parents, it's very important for us to recognize this reality. Someone or something will disciple your child one way or another. In other words, certain people or things or celebrities may capture your child's attention, interest, and or heart in this world. Some of these are celebrities, sports figures, television, the internet, things on his or her cell phone, video games, people they quote-unquote meet in chat rooms, etc. Some topics that they come across on the internet may captivate them and their mind and their interest. And yes, these things can begin to quote-unquote disciple our children. Some of these things can begin to mold their thoughts and their thinking, their perspectives about life and the world, and direct them in too many wrong and twisted ways. And too often the results in the lives of our children can be tragic. Consider sad incidents that you hear of too often in the news today, news stories that involve children. Some news stories include 1, a teenage boy who was shot and killed by an individual as he tried to run away after robbing a store. Again, a second one, an elementary-age child attempting and sometimes succeeding in committing suicide. Thirdly, young people committing suicide after being bullied online or in school. Fourthly, 3 young girls, a news story about 3 young girls that went off into the woods, and 2 of them tried to stab the 3rd one to death. Thank the Lord, the little girl survived. But where do little girls get the idea of wanting to stab one of their peers to death? And fifthly, a teen recently walked into his school and began to shoot, murdering a number of his classmates. And tragically, we could go on and on with the news stories that involve young people today. Where do these children and youth get the ideas and thoughts to do such things? Too often, obviously, straight from the devil, through the internet, through social media, through TV and movies. These are tools that Satan and the kingdom of darkness use to disciple children in darkness. Too often, these young people are consuming darkness by the gallon. Some of these youths may attend church, but many of them, while they consume darkness in large amounts and put so much negative information and ideas into their minds, may literally never or almost never even open a Bible to read it. Parents, without question, we have much work to do in discipling our own children, and we have much work to do through the church in reaching out to youth in our communities. Yet greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We do not have to be afraid. We simply have to trust our Heavenly Father and diligently be about His business. God can work through each of us as parents to help our children greatly in growing up in the faith. Not only can we help them to avoid being victims of this wicked world, but we can also help them to become kingdom warriors. And as kingdom warriors, they can help to bring Christ, the solution to all the world's problems, to a world that desperately needs Him. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession, the title of that article, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. We'll be right back.
Give you all the praise. Oh, I will
music of Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and the only way to eternal salvation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession again. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker and was reading an article entitled The High Priority of Discipling Our Children, just finishing the last portion of the article and sharing how to get it again. Parents, without question, we have much work to do in discipling our own children. And we have much work to do through the church in reaching out to youth in our communities. Yet greater is He that is in us. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We don't have to be afraid or fearful. We simply have to trust our Heavenly Father and diligently be about His business. God can work through each one of us as parents to help our children greatly in coming to know Christ and then growing up in their faith. Not only can we help them to avoid being victims of this wicked world, but we can also help our children to become kingdom warriors. And as kingdom warriors, they can help bring Christ, the solution to all the world's problems, to a world that desperately needs Him. Again, the title of that article, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. And then sharing a second one. This second one is entitled Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. Again, Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, so that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 33. And then Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may turn out well for you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. The best defense is an offense. This is a statement that we may hear in sports, in many different sports situations, but nowhere is this statement more true than in the kingdom of God. It's also true in the Christian family specifically. An important question one may ask is, how can a believer get on offense in spiritual warfare? Very simply, faithful obedience to God and His Word puts you on offense spiritually. We're each called to read and study the Word of God diligently and then faithfully obey what we learn. When Abraham packed up his family and moved to the place God had told him to move to, Abraham got on offense. And as long as he obeyed God, he stayed on offense. When Moses, in obedience to God, walked into Egypt and confronted Pharaoh and told him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go," he stepped into offense. Moses went on offense when he obeyed God and spoke these bold words to Pharaoh. So when we, in our families and in our homes, are wise enough to passionately obey God in the way we guide, mold, and shape our children and families, we're going on offense. When husbands and wives start to pray together daily, they are on offense in their marriages. When parents begin to pray daily with their children in their home, these parents are going on offense in their home. When husbands and wives seek to diligently love each other sacrificially, as we're called to do, they are on offense in their marriage and in their home. Disobedience to the word of God opens the door for the devil and allows him to have access to our homes and relationships. It gives the devil the opportunity to attack our marriages, our families, and homes. It can quickly put the family on defense. One may ask, why is obedience so important in the kingdom of God? The word of God is the wisdom of God. It's the strategy of God. It's the counsel of God. And God's word always works when you live it out correctly. God's word is a sure strategy. Also, the kingdom of darkness has no adequate defense against obedience to the word of God. And for time reasons, we're going to go ahead and end that. But that article is entitled Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. So if you'd like to get copies of one or both of the articles, again, the first article is entitled The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. The second one entitled Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. Simply email us at joseph@afr.net, and we'll be glad to get a copy of one or both of those to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. We are very blessed and honored to have with us in studio today Brother Douglas Nielsen. He's the author of a book entitled Stories of Faith and Inspiration for Young Readers. Brother Douglas, good to have you back with us again today.
Thank you, Pastor Parker.
Good to have you today. And if you'll take a moment just to tell our listeners just a little bit about you, and then we want to dive right in and talk about your book. Again, the title of the book is Stories of Faith and Inspiration for Young Readers. But if you tell them just a little bit about Douglas Nielsen.
Myself, I live in Wren. I work in Amer, been working at Walmart for 32 years.
Wren, Mississippi?
Okay. Yes, sir. And I've been trying to, I'm not going to say I've been living a perfect message for the Lord, but I have been trying to straighten up and do better.
Okay. Well, again, we've had the privilege of having you on in the past. Great to have you once again. And one of our goals today, of course, is to highlight the book that you wrote. That's a book geared towards young people and youth. And, you know, we live in a world where there's such a need for so much more ministry to children and young people in our culture. And so we do appreciate you coming and sharing about the book specifically. So tell us again, the title of your book is Stories of Faith and Inspiration for Young Readers. Tell us about the book and what led to your writing this book.
I believe most of the stories in there were God inspired. I would be sitting in my chair at the house, and all of a sudden words would just start flowing in my head. Now, only thing I can think of is God doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote them down, and I printed them out and took them, let folks read them, and they enjoyed them. And so I put it all together into one book. And then it's mainly for young children that can read, but it's also for parents that want to read to their children.
Okay, so it's such that the child could read it out loud,
yes,
or the parents can read it to their child.
That's
as well.
That's correct.
Okay. And of course, you know, one thing that on the broadcast we pretty regularly do is we encourage parents to start the habit in their home of having their children read 3 chapters in the Bible out loud to them every day. But this, of course, is a tool that, along with reading the Bible, a tool that can help encourage our kids in the things of God, in the kingdom of God, and things related to their Christian walk then. So you're going to let me read a couple of the chapters from your book. So I'm going to take time to go ahead and read. The first chapter that we'll be reading from your book is entitled Rock in My Pocket.
Yes.
Xavier was a young, very inquisitive boy. He was 6 years old and loved to ask questions like, why is the sky blue and why does water feel wet? Xavier's dad would try to answer his questions so a 6-year-old could understand them. He would know the answer, though. One day, Xavier's dad was going to head to Walmart to pick up a few items. He stopped by his boy's bedroom and asked if he would like to go with him. Xavier loved going to the store because there was always something to ask questions about. Where does milk come from? How do grapes grow? Xavier's dad told him before they went into the store to remember to be on his best behavior and to always speak to people when they asked him something, like, how are you? Or how old are you? Xavier and his dad put items in the buggy as they went around the store. He asked his usual questions, as he always did. Again, his dad tried to answer in ways that Xavier could understand. They went to the cash register to pay for those items, and his dad pulled some money out of his pocket. He pulled out some bills and coins to pay. Xavier noticed something in his dad's hand besides bills and coins. It was a small, smooth rock. Being as inquisitive as he was, he could not wait until they got in the car so he could ask his dad why he carried a small, smooth rock in his pocket. They got in the car. Dad buckled Xavier in the back seat, and then he got in the car himself. Xavier was busting at the seams to find out about the rock in his dad's pocket. He blurted, "Dad, tell me about the rock in your pocket, please." His dad said he would explain about the rock when they got home. This only made Xavier more curious. He was bubbling over with possibilities about the rock. Was it a weight to hold his money in his pocket? Was it just a rock he'd picked up? His mind was racing with questions. They finally pulled in the driveway. Once unbuckled, Xavier helped bring the bags in. His dad asked him to sit on the couch so they could talk about the rock. Xavier sat down and listened intensely. His dad asked him what he had in his pocket. He raced to reach into his pocket and pulled out gum wrappers, a marble, and two nickels. His dad started to explain about the rock. He said, "As a grown-up, my life gets very busy. I keep this rock in my pocket with my money so that when I reach into my pocket and feel the rock, I remember that Jesus is my rock." Xavier said, "Jesus, please explain." His dad said, "Psalm 18, verse 2 says, 'The Lord is my rock and fortress, my deliverer.' Psalm 94, verse 22 says, 'My God is the rock of my refuge.'" Xavier still did not understand. Xavier had been going to church all his life. His dad continued, "Jesus said, 'On this rock I will build my church.'" Xavier's dad assured him that there was nothing special about the rock he carried. It has no power to ward off bad things or evil spirits. It simply was only in my pocket to be a reminder throughout my busy day. When I reach into my pocket and I feel the rock, all of Jesus, it reminds me of all Jesus did for me, dying on the cross for me, forgiving me of my sins so I could have eternal life. Xavier asked, "Why did he die and how?" His dad told him about the cross that Jesus died so we could have forgiveness of our sins. He said, "If you believe that Jesus was the Son of God and that he died for you on the cross, then you can be saved." Xavier sat and thought about what his dad said. He asked, "Can I ask you one more question?" His dad looked surprised. "Just one more question?" "Yes, Xavier." "Yes." Xavier jumped off the couch and ran to the garbage can and threw away his wrappers. He came back to the couch, took hold of his dad's hand, and asked, "Can you help me find a rock from my pocket?" The next day at school, Xavier told his whole class about the rock in his pocket and the story of Jesus. Do you carry a rock in your pocket? Xavier still carries his rock that his dad helped him find. He tells people all the time about his rock and Jesus. End of that chapter. Again, the title of that chapter was Rock in My Pocket. Tell us about your thoughts behind that chapter.
It helps me because I do carry a rock in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And I get busy throughout the day. And when I, like the book says, when I reach in my pocket and I feel it, mm-hmm, I remember. It helps me just to remember.
Remember that Jesus is your rock.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Mm. And so, amongst other things, it's a witnessing tool for you then.
Yes.
Okay. And a neat story. And, of course, the reality is children do ask questions. And it's good when they ask questions, especially that lead them to their faith, lead them to the Word of God, lead them to the things of God. So it's good when we take the time to do that. Father, thank you for the opportunity you give each of us every day to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for every person that we've prayed for today and all those that are part of our listening family. Father, set us all on fire with a spirit of grace that would encourage us to be faithful witnesses and ambassadors for you everywhere we go. Give us witty and neat ideas and thoughts and ways to be effective witnesses and to live in such a way that we can strike up conversations to talk to people about Jesus, who he is, and the salvation that he brings. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Douglas Nielsen, the author of the book, Stories of Faith and Inspiration for Young Readers. We'll be right back.
It will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do.
Music of Mercy Me with I Can Only Imagine. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest is Douglas Nielsen. He's the author of the book Stories of Faith and Inspiration for Young Readers, a great tool that children can read themselves or an adult can read to a child that points them to the things of God, the church, the Word of God, and the Kingdom of God as well. And so, Brother Douglas, I'm going to ask before we go further, would you pray for the church and believers, individual believers in the church, to become more effective witnesses in our day-to-day lives as believers?
Yes. Dear Lord, as we come to you, Lord, just asking you to help your church grow as you see fit. We know all things are according to your will. Dear Lord, we know there are people out there that do witness. Just give them the strength to carry on, and those who may not witness, give them the strength to start witnessing, because it's only because of you that we can do this. And dear Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Now, this next chapter, we're going to read from your book. Again, the title of the book, Stories of Faith and Inspiration for Young Readers. This chapter that we're going to share is entitled, Who Am I Today? My name is Emily. I'm a young girl who lives with her mom and dad. I love when they sit and read to me. It could be a book about love, adventure, or friendship, but my favorite is the Bible. When they read to me, I wonder about the things I could become or who I am today. I think of things that God has in store for me. My parents always say, you can do anything or be anybody you want to be. I know the things I have heard them read to me from the Bible are true. My mom and dad tell me it's possible to become a musician or singer who sings songs that make the whole world happy. I could be an astronaut flying off to space. I could see the awesome planets that God made. I could get a small glimpse of how God might see the earth. I could become a firefighter who saves lives. I could even rescue a cat from a tree. I know Jesus saved everybody by dying on the cross. I could be a police officer or nurse. They also help people. I like helping others, just as the Good Samaritan did. Some of the kids at school sometimes make fun of me. They pick on me because I do not wear the newest or fanciest clothes. Sometimes my clothes don't even match. The great thing I know is that the kids at school do not know me. I just remember what my parents told me. I can do anything. My friends at church tell me the same thing. They tell me I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I would rather believe God and my parents than other people who do not know who I am today. And again, the title of that particular chapter was, Who Am I Today? What comes to your mind when you think about the topic of that, who am I, the topic of that chapter, who am I?
What the reason I come up with that story was, as far as myself, I've never been the uppity type person. I believe in serving other folks, just as Jesus shows us to serve other folks.
Being servant-minded as a lifestyle, then. Right.
Yes. And as far as, I believe we need to look at people's heart instead of what they're wearing on their clothes or what kind of car they drive or whatever like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think of this, Brother Douglas, that it's so important for us to know that every believer should be a passionate witness for Christ every day of our lives. And, you know, it's so important for us to know this, that we're all to be involved in the wonderful work of being witnesses for Christ. We're to be disciples and we're to make disciples as well. And, you know, one of the beautiful things about especially reaching out to children is this, that by the grace of God, it's easy to lead a child to Jesus. And actually, a wonderful truth that I learned years ago was that all over the world, the vast majority of people who come to know Christ before the age of 18. And obviously, it doesn't mean at all that we can't witness to people older than that. You know, definitely, obviously, that's not the case. But the fact is, if we're wise enough to reach out and minister to our children, the success rate of people coming to know Christ can be so, so great. So the church would be wise to make it a high priority to really share the gospel with our children and to really be involved in the work of discipling our children as well, along with others too. So may we really take that very, very serious. And again, your book, Stories of Faith and Inspiration for Young Readers, can be a great tool to help parents to point their children to Christ and other children as well. Well, if someone wants to get a copy of the book, Brother Douglas, tell them, how could they do that?
They can get it at Westbow Press, westbowpress.com, or it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. I do work for Walmart, so I do have some that I carry with me in the store. So if they ever run into me in Walmart, they can ask me for one.
Mm-hmm. So you give them away then?
Yes.
Okay.
And, I'm sorry, but I made a promise to God when I first started writing this book that I would give a certain percentage back to my church, River Bend Baptist Church. And I'm making you a promise that I will give 5% of my sales to your organization in the Delta.
Hmm. Well, that's very kind of you, Brother Douglas.
And 5% to AFA.
Hmm. That's very kind of you and very thoughtful of you as well. And we really, really do appreciate that. I want you to share with our listeners a little bit about this, too. You got a lot of the bracelets, the AFA Christmas bracelets as well. What do you plan to do with those when you get home?
Well, I was hoping to get into bracelets and the buttons, but they were out of the buttons.
The buttons ran out quick this year.
I really did hear they went fast. Mm-hmm. But I hand them out at Walmart and at the church, and then it's just my way of showing the bracelet says "Keep Christ in Christmas," so the little ones that can read, they'll have it on their wrist. And then any adults that want it, I'll give it to them also. It's just my little way of passing Jesus throughout the store.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, of course, the Christmas bracelets are a wonderful witnessing tool and a conversation starter, as well as something to put Christ on people's minds, too, then. So, again, great idea. And so you got them in order to hand out. You said as you work.
Yes.
That's neat. That's neat. Father, thank you, Lord, for Brother Nielsen, and thank you for the opportunity you give to each and every one of us to be a witness for you wherever we go. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace would cause us to have a burning passion to be faithful witnesses everywhere we go. And Father, as we move towards the Christmas season, more and more into the Christmas season, Lord, just cause the fire of your passion to be a witness to grow on us tremendously. Help us to know, Lord, that during this season, many people are maybe a little bit or a lot more open to hearing the gospel than they might would other times of the year because of the message and the meaning behind Christmas. Lord, help us to maximize the fruitfulness of this season by being effective witnesses. And of course, obviously, we don't want to stop when Christmas is over, but help us to just to make the most of this opportunity during this season. Father, help us to be wise enough to ask people if they know Christ and to be willing to share the gospel on the spot. Help us to carry gospel tracts with us as well and be prepared to give them out. Help us, Lord, as the church, to pray for many to come to know Christ during this season and to pray for the growth and the spiritual development of people once they come to know Christ as well. We thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, again, Brother Douglas, thank you again so much for being with us today. And, you know, something I think of, too, as we're talking about moving into the Christmas season, too, a wise thing for believers to do is to buy gospel tracts and put inside Christmas gifts as well, rather than just simply giving a gift. You know, putting a gospel tract in every gift would be a wise thing because, actually, people that may already be saved, they can take it and pass it on to someone who's not saved. But then people who receive a gift from us that are not saved, as we take the time to pray over every gift and each gospel tract we put in a gift, many people may come to know Christ because we were wise enough to, along with whatever gift we're giving them, put a seed in there for them as well, though. So, but any thoughts that come to your mind about that's doing that kind of thing?
According to what you was talking about, it's our duty to plant the seed and God waters.
Mm-hmm.
What we do with it once, what God does with it, we may never know on
That's
this
right.
side,
mm-hmm.
but we'll eventually find out.
Right. The words of the apostle, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so when we faithfully do our part, we never have to worry about God doing his part if we just simply do our part. Father, again, thank you for the wonderful privilege this Christmas season to be your ambassadors everywhere we go. Father, fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Help us to look for opportunities to give out gospel tracts. Help us to be wise enough to put the right kind of gospel tracts in the gifts we give out. But also help us to carry them with us as we go and guide us so that we'll give them out in the right places, in the strategic places you want us to give them out, so that many during this season would come to know Christ. And help us to be wise enough to pray for the growth of persons who come to know Christ during this season. Help us to share about how you've answered our prayers and how you've worked in our lives as we read and study your word and thus encourage others in their walk with you each and every day. Thank you for the opportunity to be your ambassadors everywhere we go. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, Brother Douglas, thank you so much for being with us and hope that the Lord will use this book wonderfully to bless many, many children. And again, the title of his book, Stories of Faith and Inspiration for Young Readers. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to commit your life to Christ and be saved today, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us even now and commit your life to the Lord Jesus? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrongs that I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to follow you and obey you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. My email again is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us so we can share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please do get in touch. Again, that email one more time, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get copies of the articles that we shared earlier, the two article titles, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children and Spiritual Warfare, The Christian Family on Offense. If you'd like one or both, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get those to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.